should make it 1-0, but Timo Werner surely will. And the flag stays down, and Chelsea are ahead with barely 5 minutes gone. Man City go! Oh, didn't he just? How about that from Callum Hudson-Odoi? He's managed to pinch it back and tee up Lukaku for three. Look at the room here for Lewis Hall. Comes back to Christensen. In for four. Ziyech makes it 5-0.
What's going on, Blues fans? Brendan London here, and I want to welcome you all to another episode of Chelsea Mic'd Up. We are the official Chelsea FC podcast. We bleed blue. I'm coming to you from New York City, and as you know, I have three big, huge Chelsea supporter friends with me. Go ahead, check in, guys.
A big, huge Chelsea supporter here in Chicago. It's Emily Kaplan. What's up, guys?
Andre Carlisle here in the DMV. Very cold. I hate it.
Weaklings.
Exactly. Not quite as cold here in England, but it's cold enough. Hi, I'm Lee Parker. I'm home in London at the moment.
He's there in London, Andre. Bundle up. We got some really cool stuff for you to gather around because we got some stories. But guess what? A win is a win is a win is a win. And we're back in the victory column. It gives us confidence heading into our Premier League action. But on this episode of Chelsea Mic'd Up, we're going to break down that FA Cup performance, the storylines within it. Also, Mason Mount playing some spy on the sidelines. And we're going to talk about the importance of the academy. And guess what, ladies and gentlemen? Can I get a drum roll real quick, guys? The Chelsea women are finally back. We got much more to unpack under this episode. Let's go, Blues. As we mentioned earlier, we are the Chelsea FC's official podcast. We've got boots on the ground. You heard the man say he's in the UK. He's in England. Gather around, ladies and gentlemen. Lee Parker.
You can't put me under that sort of pressure. Love it. Thanks so much, Brandon. Well, where do we start? I mean, obviously a terrific and very professional performance from Chelsea, and hats off to Chesterfield as well. 6,000 travelling fans coming with the non-league team. An unforgettable day for their academy. Before we get into the game, I'd like to sort of say congrats to everyone at Chelsea and Chesterfield, because it was a lovely touch before the game at the weekend. They invited members of the Chesterfield Academy to come down to Cobham for a combined training session, which was fantastic. It was like 300 people came down. It was wonderful. And then after that, they had invites up to Stamford Bridge. They got to watch the game as well, which I thought was a really nice touch from everyone at the club. And what a performance it was. Sharp start. Good to see goals early from Timo Werner, Callum Hudson-Odoi, Romelu Lukaku, and what a debut from young Lewis Hall, I know we're going to get into in a moment. I mean, he's been impressing Thomas Tuchel in training, and I was lucky enough to speak to him after the match, and I think it's fair to say he was still in shock.
Dream come true, really. Something I've worked towards since I was a kid, growing up through the academy, and finally got my opportunity today. So I've got to thank everyone, my family, and then the manager, obviously, and the fans for making me feel welcome, like kind of killing the nerves a little bit. So when I saw my name, just instant shock and like nerve-wracking for a couple of hours, and just had to like sit there for a bit and just think, wow, this is the day. Like,
but you're the youngest ever Chelsea player to start an FA Cup tie. I mean, that's another badge of honour for you. Yeah. The list goes on.
Yeah, I didn't know that, to be fair. Proud moment, obviously. I don't know what to say. No, really.
I'm not surprised. It's been an emotional day, I'm sure, for you, for your family. Incredible to think that this young man, this impressive young man, was 16 when the season started. He's already played across five different age groups, and we're only in January, and he's just overachieving, as so many of these young lads do that come through the academy. But Andre, coming to you, I mean, you must have been so impressed with what you saw from young Lewis Hall.
Yeah, I was, and it was a position that he was pretty unfamiliar with, right? Yeah. We know he's played midfield, left back, and wing back, but not really a left-sided center back. So that was very interesting. Looked so comfortable on the ball, exchanged well with Callum Hudson-Odoi over there. I was really, really happy to see him. And he got a couple assists. So you just kind of love to see that from a player that is so young. And the thing I really liked is after the match, you know, they're talking to him, and because he seemed so composed, the interviewers just kind of keep asking him questions. And eventually he was just like, I don't even know what to say. Like, you finally saw him break a little bit and be like, I don't even know. Like, this was wild.
That was me.
He looked so composed.
Was
there you go. It was you.
No asking him questions.
I couldn't see you, so I didn't want to assume that all British people sound alike. I'm just saying.
Keep digging.
Way to be PC, Andre. Way to be PC.
I know, right? No, it was absolutely excellent, because you couldn't tell any of that during the match. He was so composed. And I love that he said that Thomas Tuchel didn't even like give him any sort of like hint that you're starting. He just put his name on the team sheet. And wow. I thought that was incredible. Wow. So he didn't build him up and say, hey, I'm going to need you tomorrow. You know, I really need you to get in the game or whatever. He was just like, no, you'll see your name on the team sheet. Know that I trust you. Get in there and do a job. And that was incredible.
I would have been mad though. 17 years old. Mm-hmm. And you know, we live in a hype it up type generation. I would have told all the homies. I would have told all my friends, yo, make sure you check out the cup tomorrow. I'm going to be starting. You know, like, you know, it would have been all over my Instagram, taking a picture with a cheetah or something like that. Like, check, amazing. 17 years old. I have braces at 17 years old, let alone being able to go in there and compete. We talk about moments. If he's going to have a career being another Cobham boy, another guy who the Cullum Hudson adored, lost his cheek, these guys who rise to the academy. And then we'll talk about them during the Mic'd Up podcast 3-4 years from now. And it's like, remember that moment where the kid stepped on and showed that, hey, he can wear the britches. You know, he could wear the britches. And that's just great for him. Great for him, for sure.
You know, like, I'm a new supporter, so everything is kind of like a first for me. And I'm not going to lie to you. Before this weekend, I had no idea who Lewis Hall was.
Zero.
And then after this match, I'm like, I will die for this kid. Let's pretend he's my favorite player of all time. I can't wait for the future of Chelsea. And, like, that's what's so cool, though. And we get to see it. And Andre, you said it in the group chat, and I think it was so true. He just came in with confidence. And that's what I love the most about it, of being this young kid. You felt, you saw the guys felt loose. That pass that he just gave Lukaku, like, we know Lukaku is a sniper. He gets easy goals. He will have a hard time finding easier goals than that. It was just strong positioning. And I just love how excited the fan base is for him, because I saw he's training with the first club in the days after. And people were just excited about that opportunity for him to get those reps, to be around the club. I was asking Lee, like, is there a chance he'll play this weekend? And you're like, no, it depends on, you know, the necessity, but just getting that exposure. And there was a time that I understand from this club, because of our transfer ban, we were forced to play the young players. Now it feels like, and you have to give credit to Frank Lampard, because he started this tradition and Thomas Tuchel is taking it on. We want to get these guys rep, because we so realize that it's the important, the lifeblood of our organization, because of how many homegrown players we have. I love this guy. I'm getting his kit. I will die for you, Lewis Hall.
Lee, I wanted to ask you, because not just Lewis Hall, I mean, you see guys on the roster this match, guys like Charles, Clive Webster, Harvey Vale, Xavier Simmons. These are names that we, again, Emily, we zero clue who these guys are, and that's no disrespect to them, but this is a deep roster, and these guys haven't played much. So for these guys to be on the roster this match, and even these guys getting some time, Lee, we talked about the times where the guys would go over on international break, and then some of the Cobham guys would come and play. Are these some of the guys that have kind of impressed people around the facility during the scrimmages and stuff to be able to work and earn themselves to be on this roster for this match?
Thomas Tuchel, for one, is always very involved and very interested in the development of these young players. I think there have been limitations in place, obviously, because of the COVID restrictions, especially at the start of lockdown. It was very difficult for players to mix bubbles. As you know, as things have progressed, it's become a little easier. So as long as players are tested, they're able to sort of transition and move between bubbles. And especially over the festive period, it was looking pretty bleak, wasn't it, with regards to the amount of bodies that Thomas Tuchel could call upon for a senior game. But wow, you know, when you can turn to the academy and look at players of this quality and this class, and Thomas has said, hasn't he? I'm paraphrasing here, obviously, but age isn't an issue. If you're good enough, it doesn't matter. From either end of the spectrum, we've spoken, I know, at length about Thiago Silva and the fact he's 37. Doesn't matter. He looks like he's 17, 27. Doesn't really matter, does it? But he's a phenomenal player at this stage of his career. And you look at the other end, and yeah, he's depressingly young at 17, but he's achieved so much. And it's such a fantastic story already for Lewis Hall, someone that has been at the academy since he was an under eight. So very similar. And you drew the comparison just now, Brandon, and you look at people like Mason Mount, who was here from the age of six. Reece James started as an under eight. Cullum Hudson-Odoi, Tammy Abraham came through that similar path as well. Ruben Loftus-Cheek, a couple of years older, but again, that same developmental path. If we're just going to compartmentalize this year, like I said at the start, he was 16 at the start of this season. He signed his scholarship as a 16-year-old back in the summer. The club realised the potential that they had with Lewis, and I interviewed him in September when he turned 17 and signed his first professional contract. And you could tell how, I don't want to use the word giddy because I don't want to sort of make light of it, but he was just over the moon to be signing a professional contract. Fast forward to January, he's making his first team debut. And it was, like you rightly said, Andre, I know I laughed, it was heartwarming. It was really wholesome to have a conversation with him after the game. And he was like, I'm lost for words. I don't know what to say. He had his family there with him, as you were alluding to there, Brandon. Such an emotional moment for him. And also during the first half as well, he just looked so confident from the start, and to play with the Matthew Harding stand behind him, to give him an early ovation with a couple of, you know, passes, and that just gonna, it's going to give him such a lift, isn't it? And the atmosphere was fantastic, and you could see him grow into the game, Andre, couldn't you?
Yeah, absolutely. And I thought we actually did a very good job of scoring early. That is something that we've had an issue doing. You know, you dominate a match, but you don't get the goals to reflect it, and next thing you know, you're in a battle. And I'm so glad we avoided that. Saul put in another really, really good performance, even though he picked up a yellow card for no reason in like the 8th minute. That was a little weird, but he held on, didn't get that second yellow, which was great. Kovacic, again, love him and his dribbling. But yes, it's competition. We expect to win, to defeat. But I mean, you look at the results that happened the rest of that match day in the FA Cup. Huddersfield beat Burnley, Cambridge United beat Newcastle, Morecambe was leading Spurs at halftime, Everton needed a 99th minute goal to get by Hull City, and the one that made me the happiest, Arsenal? Nottingham Forest beat Arsenal. So let's go. Like, it was a very, very intense day in the FA Cup. We talked about it in the last pod, the magic of the cup. Thankfully, we didn't have to worry about that. There was a lovely moment in the 80th minute when they did score. I love their reaction, but we were up 5-0. It was fine.
It was like from that movie, The Little Giants, where it's like, we gained a yard.
Right. Yeah, it was great. I mean, and that's kind of the thing you love to see, is that even though a team can be so thoroughly outclassed on the pitch and on the scoreline, 5-0, you still like to see the fact that it means a lot to them. You know, that they got Asante scoring a goal at Stamford Bridge, you know, packed house. That's incredible. That's an incredible moment, and you love that.
The thing about this game is, like, look, I think that Thomas Tuchel probably wanted to put a lesser lineup out there and get some other guys reps, but because of COVID, he was forced to play a pretty decent lineup. That said, like you said, Andre, the guys rose to the occasion, and we're not going to break it down too much because it's probably the least competitive team we'll face for the rest of the year. But Callum Hudson-Odoi finish on that goal was gorgeous. And I think that would finish on any other team. It was pretty. And I just like the fact that we can go into a match like this and come out with a lot of confidence.
No, absolutely. He loves the FA Cup. 4 goals, 4 assists since he made his debut back in 2018. It's a competition that Callum Hudson-Odoi just thrives on.
I loved his reaction to the goal too, because he scores it and he just turns around like, yeah, that's what I do. Like, okay, just casual dribble inside, curler to the side netting. Okay, I see you.
And one last thing to keep an eye on, because when we talk about comebacks and we talk about stat lines, that Lukaku goal, although it doesn't mean anything versus Chesterfield, but Andre, Emily, when we talk about a comeback and we always use some sort of new stat in terms of marketing, well, since that incident, he scored 6 goals in 3 weeks and all that. You know what I'm saying? Like, that just adds to it. Now, you know, he's kissing the baby. He's on his comeback tour. There goes that little goal right there. There you go, Lukaku. Just keep going.
Strikers need that. I mean, it's not a meaningless goal just because of the competition. No. I mean, strikers need to see the ball in the back of the net, and I don't care who you're playing. So if he started and he's in the match, he needs to score, and he did. So I love it.
Kudos to Thomas Tuchel, because we spoke pre-match, and I said about, you know, Chesterfield will see this as a fairy tale cup tie. And he said, well, it's our job to make sure that it isn't a fairy tale. And I think once again, it showed just how seriously everyone at the club takes this competition. It's something that Chelsea have won 8 times before. They got to the final last year, 4 finals in the last 5 years. They'd dearly love to get there again. And as you've rightly said already, Andre, you know, you can see shocks occur at this stage of the competition. So it was a case of start strong, win the game, and then there's, you know, there aren't the nerves, and there is the opportunity to maybe change things up. And, you know, they're so good at managing the minutes of these players, especially with so many games. So to give Kovacic 45 minutes where he looked fantastic, but to then take him off, throw Ruben on for 45 minutes. And actually, honourable mention to Ruben Loftus-Cheek, to finish the game as captain of Chelsea, I think is a lovely touch, and something I know would mean an awful lot to him. but the ability to manage those minutes, and I don't want to say luxury, but have that ability to then nurse some of these players back from, you know, they've had time off with COVID through injury, et cetera, et cetera. So hopefully we're getting to a point now where the squad is looking a lot healthier.
They handled business on the pitch, but on the sideline, you actually had a cool story. Spy situation going down on the sideline. I didn't yeah. see it in the group chat. Go ahead and tell the audience.
It was brilliant. When the teams arrive, we have like a blue carpet behind the east stand, sort of behind the press enclosure. So we have a blue carpet, and every game, I'm lucky enough to be out there with a microphone, and we welcome Thomas Tuchel and the players off the bus. And there's a pen of supporters that are there that have been, you know, lucky enough to be chosen to welcome the teams, bringing the away team first, and then Chelsea coming 15 minutes later. So Chesterfield came off first, which was a nice touch, and they sort of applauded the fans, and that was nice. And after Chesterfield got into the dressing room, we had like 15 minutes between the teams arriving. And so I decided to walk along, and I was asking some of the youngsters, who's your favourite player? What's the score going to be? They were getting quite confident, and then there was this one kid at the end, and he said, I think it's gonna be 11-0. And I heard this voice go, what, 11-0? And I turned around, and it was Emmanuel Oyeleke, who was a Chesterfield player who Fulham have used to play at the academy here at Chelsea, and then went on to be a ball boy. But so many of these fans were saying, my favorite player is Mason Mount, my favorite player. I thought, oh my goodness, I knew that he wasn't going to be playing. I knew he was being rested. And then out of the corner of my eye, I saw a familiar face. I thought, just give me a minute. So I walked around the corner, and there's Mason. And he had like a mask on because of COVID, big woolly hat on. And he was just walking around like guy incognito. Nobody knew who he was. I said, you all right? He was like, yeah, I'm having the time of my life. He'd just been in the mega store, and there was a kid with his dad holding up a Mount 19 shirt. And he went up to them and said, you should definitely buy that shirt. And he looked at him, and it was a double take. And then the dad realized before the youngsters, like, oh my God, it's Mason Mount. So then they, you know, had a picture, and then he came round and he walked round and he stood next to me when the Chelsea players were getting off the bus, and they didn't have a clue who it was. And he's there being like, he's like heckling them. He's like, hey, gaffer. And Thomas sort of gave him like the honorary fist bump, got halfway down the carpet, had to do a double take, turn around and went back. It was like, you. It's you. And it was just brilliant. And he was like, as Ross Barkley came off, he was like, all right, Ross, all right. And there were so many players that had no idea what was going on. So he was just to his usual mischief. Yeah, it was brilliant. It was awesome. And then he obviously had the afternoon off, and the fans were happy because they got to see him up close and personal once the team were in the stadium. And then he had the luxury of sitting there and watching the game in front of us too.
I love Mason Mount. Oh, he's just everyone such a loves fun Mace. Character. You do hope that, you know, when young players, this is the thing why I really like injecting young players into the team, because they have that enthusiasm and they try things. Yeah. And there's that. But as players get older and, you know, they become more veteran, a lot of times they lose that. Mason doesn't seem like he's anywhere close to as much football as he's played in the past couple seasons, even three seasons. He's not anywhere close to losing that. And I love it.
To come full circle, I think it's, you know, obviously it's a credit to these young men, but it's also a credit to the fantastic work that the academy do as well. Because these boys, they call it crossing the road at Cobham. And it's literally crossing the road from the academy to the first team building. And they're just such a good group of grounded young men. And the academy do such a phenomenal job at not just developing footballers, but developing young men as well. And they're all the same guys. And you mentioned Mason there. And, you know, we were lucky enough to sort of interview him and speak to him throughout Youth Cup campaigns at 16, 17, 18. And as you rightly say, Andre, he's the same happy-go-lucky young man who just wants to play football, but he's polite, he's grounded, he's humble. He's respectful. So full credit to his fantastic family, but also full credit to his Chelsea family, because Neil Barth, Jim Fraser, everyone at the Chelsea Academy does such a fantastic job at nurturing these young men.
I think there's something to be said too about them all growing up together, yeah. all getting the experience together, and that allows them to be comfortable in the environment and live authentically. And so Mason Mount can show up exactly as he is, which is somewhat of a goofy prankster, like you said, very humble, very fun-loving, all of these things. Like, he could just show up as himself and feel good about it.
Absolutely. He's a real character. And, you know, we've seen, obviously, this clutch in recent years that have come through. And like you rightly say, Emily, have kind of grown up together. And now, it was interesting talking to Callum Hudson-Odoi after the game. And I said, it feels like 5 minutes ago that we were talking to you as like a 17-year-old breaking into this team. I was like, you're an old man now. These guys are coming in and they're biting at your heels, you know. It's
mad. Babies are born in 2004 these days.
Stop it. What were you doing in 2004, Emily?
I was finishing on my last year of middle school, going home every day to watch TRL or some other MTV trap. Yeah. I did until my mom came home from work, probably eating frozen fish sticks and really angsty. Nice. I was an angsty young teenager at 14. So that's what I was doing.
Stop making me feel old.
You know what? Just reminiscing over this weekend makes us feel old. Reminiscing from back in the early 2000s makes us feel old. So we're going to put it in the books right now. It's 2022, ladies and gentlemen. It's all about looking ahead. We've got one of the biggest, if not the biggest match of 2022 ahead of us. We've got Chelsea, Man City. We also have Chelsea versus Brighton, two back-to-back Premier League matches. What are you guys' predictions and what are your thoughts leading into this?
There have been trips to the Etihad that haven't gone so well in recent years, but there have been ones that have gone pretty damn well, actually. These games are always intriguing, aren't they? Especially this year. As you just alluded to there, Brandon, Chelsea play Wednesday, then at the weekend, and then we go to Brighton on the Tuesday. Man City, you've got a clear run. They've got a clear run, and next week's looking pretty clear for them as well. So, yeah, it's a significant challenge to go to a team that have got such an advantage at the top of the table. But yeah, I don't know. I don't want to jinx things, but things look to be, you know, on a positive curve at the moment. And Chelsea like playing against these. These are the challenges that everyone enjoys. You know, two attacking teams. It should hopefully be an open game. Yes, we beat them three times last season, which is well documented, but of course lost to them earlier this season at Stamford Bridge. So feeling confident, why not? Why can't we go up there and get a win? And then all of a sudden, people will start talking about this Premier League title race hotting up once again. Let's do it.
I love that attitude. And I agree. I don't think it's over yet. I think it's going to be a stretch down the finish. I think that us and Liverpool have a lot to prove, and we're going to close that gap. To me, though, this match is all about Lukaku. Like, we got past all the drama in the interview. He is back integrated with the team. He has 5 Premier League goals this year on just 8 shots on target. When you talk about someone who is just a sniper, a stat like that stands out to me. And I feel like these are the type of high-stakes games, high-impact games, highly competitive games are exactly why we brought him in. I'm curious to see what formation we go with because you know Thomas Tuchel. He's always bringing something different, and then he's always adjusting at halftime and always making the tactical adjustments. I want to see who plays up there with Lukaku because we've seen a couple different combinations in the last couple matches.
I'm going to piggyback with you on that one. It's all about Lukaku and Timo Werner as well, Emily, on this one, because we've shown that our defense can score. We've shown that our defense can hold clean sheets and can be there. I think this is one of those matches where it's on you, offense. It is on you guys up front to kind of lead and to kind of take over when it comes to this game. We're 10 behind in points. Man City is hot right now. And it's one of those matches where it could be a 3-2. It could be a 3-3 type thing, but we're going to have to put the ball in the back of the net. So Lukaku, Timo Werner, you got the free goal against Chesterfield, which helped against what Emily was talking about, the puck luck, getting some of the goals, because remember, a lot of his goals were being called back and being sent back in that sense. So now that he's landing on them, he should have that type of luck on his side when it comes to him being able to deliver. And now this is the team to deliver against. Not a team that's on its way of being relegated, not in a FA Cup or anything. This is a big-time, big-boy Premier League match. So this match is on Lukaku and Timo Werner.
It seems like every time we go through these predictions, we have to look at Chelsea's schedule, and it's always brutal. Mm. It seems like we never just don't have a brutal stretch of games. I mean, obviously, we did good work, even though I do agree with Ziyech, with it. We should have won by more against Spurs in the first leg of the League Cup. But we play Spurs in midweek. Then we play Manchester City 3 days later. And again, it's one of those 7:30 a.m. here Eastern time games, 12:30 kickoff in the UK. 3 days later, we play Brighton. Then we play Spurs in the league. It's just like, it's another brutal stretch, and I'm just frustrated. It almost seems like we don't get like a week to rest. And Manchester City will have a week to prepare for this match, even though I believe they've had a bit of a COVID outbreak
they
recently.
Have. Yes, so they have. You're right.
I don't really know who's going to be affected by that, but I guess we'll see when lineups drop. But having said all that, Thomas Tuchel does seem to enjoy playing Pep Guardiola's teams. Pep doesn't seem to really have figured out Tuchel just yet, and I love that. And obviously, when you have two like really intense tacticians go against one another, the margins are so fine. Exactly as we saw in the Champions League, it just takes one notice, one moment, one something where somebody makes a move that maybe isn't anticipated, and that's the difference in the game. And I'm looking forward to that. But I agree with y'all. I talked about Lukaku scoring against Spurs. If he scores and we beat Manchester City, he gets a brace, he gets a hat trick, whatever it is. I know that that's going to lock because Manchester City has the best defensive record in the Premier League right now. They've only allowed 13 goals in 21 matches, which is just outrageous. But, you know, if Lukaku gets the ball in the back of the net and it picks up points for us and takes away points from them, he's back. 2-1, Chelsea. Let's go.
Before we leave this, before we move on from Man City, I wanted to ask you guys, how important is the midfield battle going to be this weekend? Because we talked about Kovacic being back and looking sharp and Jorginho having a rest the weekend. Ruben Loftus-Cheek coming back. Saul now finding his feet. Mm-hmm. I mean, City's midfield. I mean, Rodri, De Bruyne, we know very, very well. I get the feeling this could be one of those games that's won and lost in midfield.
In football, Brandon knows us. That's one of the trenches. Right? That's like offensive, defensive line play.
You're only as good as your trenches, you know. And, you know, you can put lipstick on a pig, but it's still a pig, you know. Whatever country, anything country I can think of, too. Please, someone stop me right now. But yeah, absolutely. You know what, Emily? I tip my hat to you because after that first appearance by Sayo, how everyone on Twitter and all kind of turned their back on him, you really built him back up throughout the episodes. And I think he heard it because now we're sitting here talking and mentioning him being a strength in the terms of needing him being in that midfield.
You know, I see this in hockey, the sport I cover all the time. Like, I'm here in Chicago. The Blackhawks traded for this kid, Seth Jones, as a number one defenseman and gave him this huge contract. And, like, the first month of the season, everyone's like, oh, my God, he sucks. What are we doing? Well, he played in his entire career in Columbus, has to move all of his stuff, get adjusted to a new team, a new style, a new city. His family's not here. And is then adjusting to the expectations of, wow, this team gave up so much for me and the expectations are so large. It's hard. And it's impossible in a lot of cases for guys just to step up seamlessly. So I think of a guy like Saul. It was a high profile transfer. We brought him in and just assumed, oh, yeah, you're just going to plug right in and be great. He's never played in England before. Like, his family's not here. He's not comfortable with the system. Like, just give him some time. Unfortunately, it's an unrelenting schedule. You got to jump right in and, like, okay, you have a couple poor matches, which he did, and you don't trust him out there. But I love the opportunities he's had lately to get back into the mix. And he's starting to look like the player that we thought we were getting when we brought him over from Spain.
Getting up to this level is very hard. And I think we do ultimately as a fan base and supporters of the club, and this doesn't just go for Chelsea supporters, this is just football supporters all over the place, need to be more patient with players and understand that it's not FIFA. It's not Football Manager. You can't really just plug and play. You know, Football Manager is a little bit more intense, but it's still not that. It's a game. So I do think that it takes some time for players to settle, and you never have it. And you don't really know what's going on in their personal lives, right? As Emily mentioned, sometimes it could just be they don't have family over here. They're not comfortable. Maybe they don't have a place to stay. They're living in a hotel or something like that. You really don't know what it's like sometimes for these players and what can unsettle them.
All right, let's move on to the Chelsea women who are finally back in action. I know my man Andre Carlisle is so excited about that. Kick us off on this one. Chelsea women versus Everton. Give us the goods.
Oh, I have missed this team so much. That match kicks off. It will be a month since they last played a competitive match. And that is just wild. You know, there's postponements. The last part of 2021, obviously the game against Spurs, which is supposed to be the first game back in 2022, was postponed as well because of COVID and injury cases. But it seems like all that is behind us enough to be able to put on this match against Everton. So super looking forward to this. Want to see the team back. Need to see the team back. Want to see what Emma Hayes has changed. I honestly think going up against Everton is a very good match. They spent a lot of money in the offseason to rebuild their squad. It hasn't really paid off much on the pitch. You look at their league position, they're ninth. You look at some of their matches whenever they play opposition that's as talented or better than them, they end up struggling. And a lot of times it's struggling and losing by multiple goals. So I think this is a great opponent to come back to, get everybody back into the team, the flow of the season. I'm looking for Chelsea to respond. Ruthlessness, as we always say with this team, ruthlessness. I want to see 4-0.
I want to see a shirt that says Chelsea women, ruthlessness.
Seriously.
I would buy that.
And the S's can be twos for 2022.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my gosh. Make these.
Yeah, but can't wait to see this squad back. After a month, you know, you can get as much training as you can throughout that time in the gym, working out. You can rest your body. But like we say, ain't no reps like game reps. Ain't no speed like game reps. So it's going to be important for them to come out fast, but not fast enough to where you blow it all. You're going to have to manage it at the same time, but wanting to come out and jump out on a team early is very important, especially after having so much time off. So it's going to be interesting to see how much they give early, you know, how much you press early in that sense. She's Chelsea women, like you said, 2022 ruthlessness. I say 2-0.
Sounds good. I'll tell you what we haven't said is actually Chelsea women had a pretty good weekend without kicking a ball, didn't they? Because Arsenal lost to Birmingham.
Yes, they did.
Meaning that Chelsea women go into the game, that were game in hand on both Arsenal and Spurs now, win this, and they're a point behind the league leaders. So all of a sudden it takes on even more of a significance, doesn't it? I think they're going to be chomping at the bit. Emma Hayes and the players will be desperate, won't they, to right the wrongs that we sort of discussed at the end of last year. They're going to be flying. I know they would dearly love to be in the Champions League, but that's now not going to be there as a distraction, but it will be for Arsenal. So it gives them more of a domestic focus when we speak to Erin Cuthbert. Look forward to that, Chelsea fans, by the way. I'm sure she will concur that they will want to win everything in their path. I mean, this is a team of serial winners, and they'll look to start 2022 off in the best possible way. Feeling confident. I'm going 3-0.
Okay, I also want a shirt that says, a team of cereal winners. I love that. Like a big cereal bowl underneath or something. I like that, nice and funny. I like 3-0 too. I just want to see them back in action. It feels like it's been forever. And I think they're probably itching and ready to get back out there. So give me 3 goals, but I'll take more.
3 goals and a shirt that says serial winners. We got the Chelsea mic'd up merch in full effect this episode, ladies and gentlemen. And the reason why we do the predictions, because we want you, the fan, to play the play predictor on the Fifth Stand app. Remember, you can put your powers of prediction to the test on this. You'll be added to a leaderboard for every game that you play, right? And you can compete for the top spot with other Chelsea fans to win a prize after every single game that you predict. And then you can play again for a chance to win a monthly or season-long prize. And that's including a VIP match day experience with flights and accommodation from anywhere in the world. It don't matter. Whatever area code you are around the world, you could win. You can get yourself all types of prizes. You can even get a chance to go to Stamford Bridge on a VIP match day experience. And if that wasn't enough, I say it every time, you may get a chance to meet the Lee Parker, Lee.
The legend.
Stop it.
Legend. And you have to hit the E when you meet him, ladies and gentlemen. You really have to hit the E, like Lee.
Stop it.
His actual real name is Lee period Parker.
Making me sound like a wrestler.
It's mailbag time, ladies and gentlemen. We take your questions that we put out from Twitter and social media, and it's time to ask us. Mailbag time from the fans. Our friend Dylan from Miami asks, will we continue to see academy players make an impact on the senior squad like Lewis? To add to this question for him, to go even more in detail, are there any other academy players that have made an impact out there that we should keep an eye out for?
There's a question, Brandon. The thing is, the stream of talent to come out of that building is phenomenal. To answer the question in short form, I'd say yes, yes, yes. I think Lewis Hall has made such an impact on Thomas Tuchel, on this group, that yes, he will have opportunities throughout the rest of the season. And I think one of the key things about some of these youngsters is just how versatile they are. Andre touched on it at the start of the pod, where he said about the positions that Lewis has already played in. And same can be said for Harvey Vale. Very versatile young man, such a good technical footballer, can play on either side. He's an attacking sort of, you can play him on either wing, he can play through the middle. Honestly, the sky's the limit for him. Keep an eye out for Judson Tutbell as well, who played against Brentford. There was a lovely, I don't know if you saw it actually, in the Carabao Cup game last time round. Brentford always play Hey Jude, the Beatles classic, as the teams come out. And as they were playing it, Thomas Tuchel emerged out of the tunnel, saw Jude, pointed at him, pointed up at the PA, and was like, this is for you. This is for you. And it was brilliant. It was all perfect timing. But that, I tell you what, just to elaborate on that, I mean, we talk about the players that have come through the academy. There is a Chelsea Academy footprint right across the Premier League at the moment. If you look throughout the league, not just at Chelsea, but academy graduates, I mean, Tino Livramento at Southampton, Armando Broger, who's on loan. At Crystal Palace, you've got Mark Guerhi, Conor Gallagher, Michael Olise, who spent time at the academy as a youngster, and Jesse Raksaki as well, Brighton, Tarek Lamptey, Miles Pert-Harris at Brentford, Jack Cork at Burnley. Where do you stop? Billy Gilmore, obviously, who unfortunately got an injury recently at Norwich whilst on loan there. Declan Rice at West Ham. Eddie Nketiah at Arsenal. I'm so sorry if I've missed anybody. But it just shows the quality of players that have come through in recent years at the academy. It's exciting times, Andre, isn't it?
Yeah, it absolutely is. And it's always fun. Cobham has that legendary kind of status. And I know some other fan bases get a little upset about it because, you know, they have academies too. But it's almost like Chelsea rarely plays opposition where there's not some connection, whether a player currently on loan or whether they've moved on in their career and they're, you know, now with another team. It is incredible just the amount of talent that comes through that team. I mean, it was even watching some of the African Cup of Nations and Bertrand Traore, you know, over there. I remember Bertrand Traore. I loved him. I loved him as a player and was like sad to see him go. But you just look at the talent.
I told you I missed somebody out.
Yeah, you just look at the talent. And it's just incredible. I love watching the team. I love watching. This is one of the fun things that for me, obviously, you know, Chelsea's number one. I root for them all the time. But you see some of the players come through and you just want them to be successful because it adds another credibility, more status to the academy, and it is so good. And look at the young crop of players that is there now, and you just like, where are those guys going to be, you know, in 3 years, in 5 years? Some of them are going to, certainly with Tuchel at the helm, are going to be at the, you know, in the Chelsea senior team. Some might move on and do other things, but you absolutely love the fact that we have such a strong academy and we can supply players to the rest of the Premier League. You're welcome. For some of the players that we've sent over there, I mean, Conor Gallagher has been amazing at Crystal Palace. So yep. Like, yeah, it's just, it's so much fun, and it's just another thing to feel proud about with this club.
Like, I feel proud every time I see Tammy Abraham do well in Rome.
And, oh,
you know,
yes.
He was a player that I fell in love with here, and it warms my heart that he is finding success. And, you know, we miss him, and I kind of wish he played for us, but I'm also happy for him. And the one thing I would mention, just not on a granular level, because I read an interview with Neil Bath, who's the head of development, and I understand he doesn't do a ton of interviews, but he reminded that this is all part of an initiative called Vision 2030. We're only in 2022. Like, this is a long-term plan to build up this academy. So, like, this isn't ending right now. Like, oh, we're good. We got Lewis Hall. Like, we're set. Like, let's just keep spending money. Like, they're going to continue to do this over the next decade. And I would expect, with Roman Abramovich, who has made such a commitment to building up the academy, for them to create a new initiative after that. And this is just part of our DNA now.
I mean, we mentioned last week John Terry coming back to coach these kids. So it's like, it's not only about going out and finding the players, it's development and who's developing these kids. And you got legends coming back in the building to create, continue to pass along that Chelsea culture. So, I mean, it's, wow, 2030, we're gonna be cheering for quite some time now. I really like where this organization's going. So we want to thank you all for listening to the Chelsea Mic'd Up podcast. Remember, you can find anything and everything on Chelsea through the Fifth Stand app. Go ahead and go download it. And please don't forget to subscribe, rate, review, and tell a friend to tell your friend to tell their mama about the Chelsea Mic'd Up podcast. We want blue flags flying high across America. We want to thank you again for joining us, and we are definitely going to see you next week. Let's go Chelsea, beat Man City, beat Tottenham for sure, and let's go Blues.